So I'm a few months into using Barefaced skincare every day, and like so many of you who have tried these products, I am loving them. The first thing I noticed was a change in the texture of my skin and the size of my pores. But my favorite thing about Barefaced is that I noticed my skin glowing in a way it hasn't in years. It just looks healthier. I've gone from a bathroom counter scattered with a hodgepodge of products to a simple skincare regimen that is easy to be consistent with every day. Barefaced was founded by nurse practitioner Jordan Harper, who is passionate about science-backed skincare education, and she shares the best skincare tips over on their Barefaced Instagram. You can even text her team of skincare specialists for a complimentary consult to answer any questions you may have. They will recommend exactly what you need from the comfort of your couch. Their number is on the Barefaced Instagram, and I'll put the number in the show notes as well. They're big fans of the podcast and have offered Got It From My Mama podcast listeners 15% off their first purchase by using code MAMA15. This episode of our series with moms of high-profile athletes hits close to home and heart. We are talking to my friend Felicia Garland, mother of NBA All-Star point guard and Cleveland Cavalier Darius Garland. At 23 years old, he is one of the highest paid players in the NBA. He went to school with my boys just south of Nashville, and I will never forget the first time I watched this little eighth grader in the baggy basketball shorts start for the varsity team. It's been so fun to see this close-knit family enjoy all the blessings of Darius's success, and I think you will love meeting his sweet mama, Felicia, in this episode. Okay, Felicia, I'm going to tell you a story, and I don't know if you remember it, but I remember it like yesterday. Okay. We were at our mutual friend Terry's house, who we'll get to her a little bit later. She's kind of a big part of the story of you guys ending up in Tennessee.
Right.
But we were at her house, and I can't remember. There were a bunch of people there. It was probably just kids hanging out because they always hung out there in high school. Mm-hmm. But I remember you and I were cutting up about something, and Terry, and you looked at Terry, and you said, she could be my white little sister.
God,
do you remember that?
Yes, I remember
and
that.
I took
so
it as the
funny.
Biggest compliment
yes,
ever.
Yes, you should have.
Because I've always just thought you were so fun and adorable, so I just thought that was
funny.
Awesome.
I totally forgot about that.
Yep, I totally remember it, because every time I'm like, oh yeah, we could be sisters.
Right. I just love your style. I'm very beautiful woman inside and out. And
you're so sweet. You're so sweet. Well, we have a common bond in that our boys went to the same school together, mm-hmm. Brentwood Academy, just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And Darius was in between my two boys. Right. So I had one that graduated in 2019, Cooper, and then Connor graduated in 2016. And Darius was probably right in the middle, about 18?
18.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember y'all moving to town. I remember our friend Terry's excitement over the fact that you guys were moving here. And then now we're in the NBA and we're a superstar. It's been the most exciting journey.
Yes, yes. And now you're in the country music business, your son, and
crazy.
Doing well. And just so proud of him too.
We've been talking a little bit about just the parallels of, even though the businesses are not related at all, still some of the pressures and the things that I think we see our boys experience, mm-hmm. in some of the really big decisions that come their way that inevitably, mm-hmm. affect us as moms.
Right.
There's a lot of parallels, really.
A lot.
Okay, we're going to go way back though. So you met your husband first in high school, Winston Garland. Mm-hmm. He played 7 years in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But you were not an NBA wife. That happened a little bit later, right?
It did.
Are you kind of grateful?
Probably. Probably. But yeah, actually, we met in high school from my cousin. And, you know, I'm a year older than him. And we just, you know, he was a basketball star. And I was kind of shy.
Into?
I used to be so shy.
Really?
Yes.
People didn't really put yourself out there.
Yeah, I didn't need all that attention. So yeah. I just kind of went my separate way.
And you're still a little bit like that, wouldn't you say?
I am.
Like, even this is a little out of the box
this
for you.
This is really out of the box for me.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it, though. But yeah, so we, you know, went our separate ways, and I went on with my life, and so did he. We both were married. I have an older son, Desmond, who's 34, and he has two, Casey and Cody. They're 33 and 28.
Okay. So you had a blended family.
Mm-hmm. A blended family.
How did you guys reconnect? Was it the same cousin?
So it was my cousin who introduced me to him in high school.
Okay.
She was in town visiting. And we had gone to some event, and she touched me on my shoulder and said, Felicia, look who I found again. And I turned around and it was him.
Aww.
So we just, you know, we started just as really good friends. I mean, we talked on the phone for months, And then I think it was Thanksgiving and we went out on our first date a few months later. And we just became, you know, like really good friends in the beginning. And the rest is history.
What was he doing at the time? Was he coaching?
No. Well, at the time he had just gotten out the league and he was just at home trying to, you know, figure it out.
Kind of figure out what's next.
What's next. Mm-hmm. But Winston has always had a passion for kids, mm-hmm. Coaching. And then, and so he took a job at the correctional center.
Really?
Yeah, he was over a basketball team at the correction. It was the weirdest thing, but wow. He loved it.
Wait, was it juvenile correction?
Juvenile.
Oh, wow. And so he took those boys mm-hmm. and coached them yeah. and probably had a real opportunity to mentor.
He did. He did. And then he started coaching at one of the local high schools. And our relationship just built and built. And we ended up marrying. And
along comes Darius.
Yeah, along comes Darius. Yeah. Never thought I would have another child.
Really? I was going to ask you that. Did you? Because you both had children. You mm-hmm. had three blended.
Yeah.
So Darius was not necessarily on the agenda family.
He really wasn't. And he and Desmond are like almost 11 years apart.
Yeah.
So I started all over again.
You did.
I did. And I think that's the reason why Darius, you know, as far as a kid growing up, he was never a real, like, I want to play with Tonka toys and trucks and things like that. Mm-hmm. That just never fazed him, riding bikes.
Was he the kind of kid that always wanted to just hang with the adults? He interacted better with older people mm-hmm. or older kids than mm-hmm. his own age?
Yeah, he was always around, you know, my oldest son, Desmond, his friends. And it's still today, it's the same way.
Not much different, huh? I feel like Darius is one of those guys, he's quiet till you get to know him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably fine flying under the radar.
He is.
There's nothing about the spotlight in the NBA that draws him in other than his love and passion for basketball. Is that true?
That is so true. And, you know, unfortunately, the world we live in, and, you know, I have to remind him from time to time, you know, you're not just Darius Garland anymore. You know, it's mm-hmm. sad, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he will come to town or go wherever and go to the mall by himself or with just a friend or, you know.
He almost forgets.
I think he forgets. That's just the person he is.
Yeah.
He's just a happy-go-lucky. He can run into a classmate and, I mean, they can start joking around, laughing, playing, but whatever. That's just his personality.
Yeah.
He doesn't take this to his head.
One of my favorite things is that when he does come home, he's right back with his high school friends, mm-hmm. his middle school friends. He seems to be really, really good about like connecting and staying in that circle of people who've been there all along.
Right.
And that's the Darius they know is the one that mm-hmm. can just go to the mall and do all that. And and I find, you know, even with Connor in the country music spotlight or whatever, it seems so important to me that mm-hmm. he does that.
Yeah,
because it isn't people who met him after some of this little bit of success started. Mm-hmm. It was the people who knew him and his heart and who he was before.
Exactly. And even, you know, last year Darius made the All-Star team and he always said if he make it, he wanted Gavin and Cameron to go with him. Mm. And, you know, the NBA will pay for, you know, two people. They'll put him in a hotel. They'll fly him in. They'll have a driver the whole weekend. So Gavin
and Cameron.
Yeah. So wow. They got a chance to experience that with him. And that really, really touched my heart. I was so glad that he did that.
Yeah, that's pretty special. And the name's Gavin and Cam, you might hear through our interview. And that's because that was the trio of basketball players at BA that had played AAU basketball mm-hmm. together, then at Brentwood Academy in Nashville, and then they have all gone on to have successful athletic careers. Mm-hmm. And the three of them, interestingly enough, all chose with many, many offers mm-hmm. on the table of what they could have done, but they all chose to go to Vanderbilt and pursue athletics.
I know. Wasn't that something? Yeah. I was so happy.
That was unbelievable.
That was.
Yeah.
You know, Darius had so many offers and I was just, you know, at the end of the day, we told him it was his decision.
Yeah.
Whenever this was your first big boy decision that you can make on your own.
Yeah.
And he decided to stay home and to play at Vandy. And I was so happy.
Oh my goodness. You could get in your car and be there in about 20 minutes parked and in your seat.
Right.
That had to be pretty awesome to play at that level and do it at mm-hmm. home. You guys grew up, you and your husband both, you're from Indiana.
Yeah.
Where's Winston from?
Gary, Indiana.
He's from Gary, Indiana. He went to Missouri State.
He went to Missouri
State. Okay, that's where the Missouri thing was coming in. Okay. Yeah. But at some point, what was it that you guys were experiencing and seeing that you felt like Darius needed another environment that would pick you up out of your hometown mm-hmm. to move here to Tennessee? Was it for him to be a little bit more challenged athletically, or was it more about a lifestyle and family?
Yeah, it was, you know, Gary, Indiana, it had changed tremendously. Mm-hmm. And we knew after grade school, he was in a really good grade school. Actually, it was right across the street from our home, too.
That's nice.
Darius had access to the gym. Winston could take him over there at any time and practice, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
But when it came to middle schools and high schools, it was just changing. Mm-hmm. The environment, just so much going on. And we knew we were going to move.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really sure where at the moment. You know, college coaches used to come to different schools and, you know, check out a kid that maybe had some potential, but they just weren't doing it in that area. And they weren't coming mm-hmm. to that area anymore.
How old was he when you start thinking we need people to see him?
Right. Like fourth, fifth grade.
So kind of late elementary mm-hmm. school when you noticed that he was, and I won't be humble, whereas you would be, but where he was probably so good as a fourth or fifth grader, mm-hmm. it would just be almost detrimental to his skill set to keep him where he was.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it really wasn't about the basketball, the move, because I tell people all the time, you know, if he wanted to play tennis mm-hmm. or whatever, he was going to do that. No matter if he was good at it, he could have gone anywhere and played.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about the education.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted a better education for him. So we connected with the team. They were in Chicago and they saw Darius play and started asking questions about him. And they asked if he could play in a tournament in Ohio. And, you know, at that time, they weren't with AAU, mm-hmm. so you could play with whoever.
Right. And these are for people who aren't as familiar with the basketball world, myself included. These are almost like travel teams on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah. the level of competition,
yeah.
and it's not traveling 30, 45 mm-hmm. minutes outside of your hometown. You guys yeah. were getting on planes and flying all over the country to compete against the best of the best.
We did. And we went to Ohio, and actually that's when I met Terry at our first tournament.
Uh-huh.
That's where he and Gavin became, you know, friends, and Terry and I, we connected. We were at the King James tournament, LeBron James tournament
in Ohio. Yes, I remember when y'all got that opportunity. I was just like, what?
Yeah. And Terry and I got really, really close, mm-hmm. and we came here to several tournaments.
Yeah.
Loved the area. And the people here were just, oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, it felt like family quick, didn't it?
It really did.
Once you guys moved mm-hmm. here, yeah. And one thing I know about Terry is that my adjective would be persistent.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably was all over you till you said, okay, we're going to move anyway. We'll come your direction.
Yeah. It was so funny. And I didn't find this out till later years later, how nervous she was about us coming.
Really?
Yes. She felt like, you know, we were picking up and leaving our family and just coming here. And I'm like, and I told her, I said, Terry, we were fine. We were going to make it.
Like, what if you didn't like it? What if it wasn't a good fit? Yeah. I could see where that would have been a lot of pressure on her.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I love her for that.
Yeah. So those boys start playing. This allows them to live in the same city. They're doing their travel ball. Mm-hmm. They all had a really bright futures in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The two other boys, this little trio, they could have, as easily as they went to play football somewhere, they mm-hmm. could have gone to play basketball somewhere. They were so talented.
Yep.
The first thing I remember about Darius is like, who's the little eighth grader playing? I mean, I knew you guys. I knew the story of you moving here and I knew he was really good. But you'd go to the varsity games and our eighth grader playing on the varsity upper school team is outscoring and out whatever everybody. And then our gym just starts getting more packed and packed because everybody wants to come see the phenom that is Darius Garland right here in our little hometown.
I know. That was hilarious. Him in those big shorts. Yeah. I remember the first time he played. Well, Hubie Smith was the coach at the time, that was his first year. And Darius wanted to play, but Hubie was so afraid that he would get hurt. He said he was too small.
Really?
Yeah. And then eventually he did let him play.
And he was small.
He was small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I look at him now and I'm just like, how, or I should say I look up at him now. I was like, oh my goodness, this is still, but he's still that same sweet smiling, you know, little eighth grader that was just happy to be on the court, you know?
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When he was little, was it all ball all the time?
He played baseball too.
I was going to ask you, did he ever try another sport?
Yeah, he played, he was really good in baseball. And actually Winston was too.
Really?
Yeah. Winston mom always said if she thought he would go professional at any sport, it would have been baseball.
Okay.
He was a really good pitcher and shortstop, and so was Darius.
So in high school, what was the, there were a lot of highlights there as well. Mm-hmm. This journey has just been so amazing. But a big acknowledgement is it Mr. Basketball for the state of Tennessee? Yeah. That was probably one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. And then the McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
Tell me, as all those things were coming at you as mom, were you seeing this path to the future?
I'll say his junior year, that's when I really started seeing that he may be going somewhere.
Up until the junior year, would you say that maybe you, what you saw was probably the opportunity to maybe get to play college basketball?
Exactly.
Which I guess at the time, that seemed like a big deal.
That was a big deal.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Yeah, at that time, that's when I really, I said, okay, well, he can probably, I'm sure he'll be able to go to school and, you know, for free and play basketball, do something that he really enjoys.
You were just some relief there. Okay, college might get paid for.
Exactly.
That's kind of all you were hoping for at the time, probably.
And then, you know, when you started playing AU and just people, you know, in your ear and so many people coming at him, I mean, Nike and Adidas, and then you started thinking like, okay, maybe something is, you know.
Do you ever think about what the NIL situation now would have been like for him in high school? I've thought about that recently with Darius and about how crazy that could have been for him.
It could have been. It really could have been.
Are you kind of glad you skipped all that?
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I think that would be a really tough parent, tough decision for these parents out there of whether the exposure of what a deal looks like and all of that while you're so young.
While you're so young. Because even just, he was 19 and, you know, the deal that he got, you know, it went fifth and it's like, wow.
At what point do you start getting the college looks and offers? I mean, was it as early as freshman, sophomore year?
Freshman, sophomore year.
Okay.
He started getting offers and Darius was so blessed with that. We were, he, I think he ended up with maybe 23 scholarship offers.
Oh my gracious.
Yeah.
So and 23 then, at 23 different colleges to go play full ride basketball.
Yep. Wow. That's nothing but a blessing.
So, I bet you're so thankful to have Winston.
Oh my
who
God.
Had kind of been there, done that.
Been there, done that. And he was so helpful and still is today.
You could, in a lot of cases, I'm guessing you could probably be mom and still worry about get your laundry off the floor, get, you know, just and the things that we do.
And I'm still that mom, even at his own house.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
I do. I mean, you know, Desmond is there with them and it helps so much. But
do they live together?
They do.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, because he was so young, you know, leaving home. And
so he chooses Vanderbilt. We're all excited about that. And one of the things I remember that is such a sweet moment is I remember him saying, because everyone was like, why Vanderbilt? Why you had 23 scholarship offers? Why there? And he loved the idea that mama could get in the car and drive and be at every game and, you know, as many as possible anyway. And I know that that was important to him because you have nurtured a very close family.
And he and I are very close. And we did tell him we didn't want him to make this decision or base it on us. We wanted you to do what you felt was best for you.
Yeah.
And then what we did, we narrowed it down to four.
Was there an element of pride for your son to be in a top tier Vanderbilt level education school as well?
Oh God, yes. Even just, you know, from us moving here from Indiana, going to Brentwood Academy, it was an adjustment.
Yeah.
I mean, the
academics
mm-hmm. was
I thought you were proud of him even just then.
I really was
yeah.
And then to go to a school like Vanderbilt, oh my god,
yeah,
I could, you know,
I get a whole different level of pride there.
Yes.
Take me to game five.
Oh god,
first year at Vanderbilt.
I may get full, but please excuse me. That was one of the lowest times of my life besides losing my dad.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was. You know, it was so much hype in the city for him to, you know, stay and go to Vanderbilt.
And they put a billboard up.
They put a billboard
for Darius because he was going to come to Vanderbilt to play basketball.
Yeah, and that wasn't the only one. A lot of people didn't realize there were several, and I didn't see all of them, but I know there were at least four. That fifth game, my whole family was in town for Thanksgiving, so we all had tickets to go to the game. And
you have a big family.
I do.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. I had six children. My mom and dad.
You're one of six.
I'm one of six. Yeah. It was against Kent State out of Cleveland, Ohio.
Ironically.
Okay. I said, oh my goodness. But when he was it, 3 minutes into the game?
It wasn't long. I don't know exactly, but.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it wasn't long into the game. And one of the guys kind of pushed him out of bounds and he fell and tore his meniscus.
Did you know as soon as he went down that wasn't a normal fall? Or
when he got back up and he was limping and still trying to play, and then when they took him to the back and he stayed a little too long, that's when I really realized, oh my God.
That's when you started worrying.
I did. And it was just devastating.
At some point in there, did you and Winston walk on down and go back to the back?
Yeah, Winston went back, and then he came back out and he told me that he had torn his meniscus.
They knew immediately.
Wow. I immediately started boohooing, and you know, it was just we went, we talked with the coach, and we talked with the doctor. And at that time, he hadn't chosen an agent because we hadn't, you know, but we had, you know, talked to different people and, you know, had some
people
cool
were probably pursuing him, mm-hmm. but he hadn't really landed
exactly.
somewhere. Okay.
So we decided to go ahead and have the surgery. So we went to New York. We came home. And he was, you know, he was doing okay. And this one particular day, well, for a couple of days before, he started complaining of a slight headache. And I would give him Tylenol, and they told me, you know, I was in contact with them, just give him some Tylenol. So one particular day we had, because his room was downstairs, we moved him upstairs because, of course, you know, the stairs. And I went in there and I touched his knee, and it was a little warm. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't say anything, you know, to him. And I told Winston, I said, you know, he's been complaining of this headache and his knee is warm to touch. And I said, if it's still warm tomorrow, I'm calling the doctor. So lo and behold, I wake up the next morning. First thing I do, go in there and his knee is still hot. And I said, how's your head feeling? You still, he said, yeah, it's a little bit. I have a little headache. And I said, I'm calling a doctor. And they told me to take him right away to the surgery center. He said, there's some fluid in there. And he drained it. And he said, I have to send it in for the biopsy, and I'll let you know. And so I worked at Vandy in Cool Springs.
I was about to say, yeah.
And I worked with the surgery center in Cool Springs. Mm-hmm. So
you did scheduling, right?
I did.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay.
And so I knew they closed at 5:00. So Darius was starving. He was starving. That he's like, I'm hungry. So we got home about 5:30, and he said, can I please eat? Because he told us not to eat.
Oh.
And so I said, well, they're closing at 5, so nothing will be done today. So I got him some food. 5:45, the doctor calls me and said, Felicia, get him to Vanderbilt right now. We're going to do surgery. I'm like, oh my God.
Dr. Surgery Sullivan. On the surgery that
yes. He said, we need to get him in right away. I said, he just ate. He was like, oh no, it was, oh my God. It was,
I bet you felt so guilty. Like, you were trying to feed your boy. You didn't think there was any way they'd do something after. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh.
So he said, we need to get him. Well, still just take him to the hospital right away. They're waiting on him. I'm like, oh my God. And he had a terrible infection. When I tell you the Vanderbilt staff, the university, mm-hmm. they were so, his room was full with the athletic director, his wife, the coach, the three assistant coach, everybody was there. I was like, oh my God.
And then what was the rehab like for that? Just a ton?
My baby was walking around with a bulb attached to him. They were running antibiotics through him continuously.
Because of the complications with infection. Mm-hmm. Wow.
A lot of people didn't know that.
During those days of that and seeing the complications and what was going on, it wasn't just an easy, typical recovery. Mm-hmm. Were you a little bit about what if?
What if we were.
What went through your head?
We just didn't know what was going to happen. And then he didn't get a chance to play and to prove himself in college. Right. So, during that time, we decided he needs to go ahead and just withdraw from school and just prepare. It was, you know, even having this injury and this type of injury, you could still play.
Yeah.
And, you can come back. So.
But at what level? Right?
Exactly. We just didn't know.
And yeah. How did he take that kind of news? Like, how did he handle the adversity of a major injury?
It was so hard. We tried our best just to keep his mind occupied, and
keep his spirits up.
And yeah, it was really hard for him.
He worried too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Yeah. But he told himself, he told us, he said, well, I know I can't come back from this injury, where it'll put me, in the draft. I just don't know. But thank God I'm here and I'm able to even participate, to be in the draft.
So at what point, so this happens so shortly into the season, mm-hmm. how does it work? At what point do you have to decide, is he going into the draft or do we just go back and play another year of college ball? Mm-hmm. Could you even do that because you had withdrawn? So what were your options at the time?
Once he withdrew, I believe you have so much time to decide, okay, either I'm going to go back or I'm going to go ahead and just go in the draft.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was a big decision to be made at that point.
It was a big decision, mm-hmm. yeah. And we, talk to different people and ask questions, and we kind of learned along the way, what were his chances, what did they think. Before the injury, Darius was considered the number one point guard in his class.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then after the injury, he kind of...
Okay. Yeah, so everything that a coach would look at, or I guess all of these recruiters, coaches, whatever they call them, the teams are looking at, they had to base on his high school experience, mm-hmm. his AAU competitive play, mm-hmm. and 4 games and 3 minutes of basketball in college. Is that right?
That's right. Wow. That's what they based it on. Yeah. And then they based it on potential.
Yeah.
As well. So,
and that was there no matter what, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember before the draft, we were in New York. He was projected to go different slots. At first, I think it was fourth, but the Lakers ended up taking Anthony Davis. So that meant Darius will fall back to fifth. You could kind of tell what team may be interested in you based on your position and what they needed. So Chicago was really interested in Darius.
How did you feel about that?
Chicago, it is close to home. You'll have to worry about. But my family has been really good. Winston's family has been really good with that as far as, tickets and this and that.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been a lot of pressure on him and us if he had gone to Chicago. Because, before moving here, I was working in Chicago. So close to Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Do you have a funny story about people who've come out of the woodworks?
Oh, God.
That all of a sudden, Darius was either their best friend or closest cousin or...
Yeah. When we go to like Indianapolis and play, different people, hey, little cuz, that's my little cuz, and this and that. And I'm like, okay.
And you're like, I'm sorry, who are you?
I know, because, Darius, when we moved away when he was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
So he really didn't get a chance to, see or know a lot of people, mm-hmm. And then when he was at, when we were there, we traveled so much. Starting in fourth grade, we started traveling. So he wasn't, outside playing with other kids.
The neighborhood kids. Yeah, it was not a whole much. Different lifestyle.
We had a basketball court in our backyard. If you could play basketball, then yeah, you could hang out with
If you played basketball, you might have played with Darius right. when he was little.
If you're not using the Core 4 products for long-term skin health, you're likely very underwhelmed by the results of your skincare routine. Think of building your skincare routine like building a house. You need a solid foundation, otherwise your house will collapse. The same thing applies to your skin. If you're not using the Core 4, your skin lacks the resources to be healthy. So what are the Core 4 products? A vitamin C, SPF, an exfoliant, and a retinoid. These four products protect, repair, and strengthen the skin, and they are the first four products that are really worth investing in because they are the powerhouse of your routine. Barefaced makes it easy to get started with these four essentials with their Bare Necessities Bundle. This bundle can be customized to your skin type when you take the 5-minute skin quiz on barefaced.com. They even break down exactly how to use each product and how to introduce them into your routine. Super simple and effective. Hey, got it from my mama listeners. Get a discount code. Use MAMA15 to get 15% off your first barefaced purchase. Tell me about draft night. I mean, we see the flash, the glitz and the glamour on TV and all of that. But I mean, is it just as awesome as it looks like it would be for a mom to sit there and see her son's name called?
It is. But you're so in the moment. You don't even really think about that, you know? Mm-hmm. So the night before, we had a pre-draft party for him, and we had, you know, I had, how many people came? Was it 62 family members and friends?
And friends, and Tennessee friends. And Tennessee friends. Yeah, our mutual Indiana, friends, and yeah. high school coach, and all the things.
Everybody was there. It was so many people. And I'll never forget, at the pre-draft party, he had to leave, he and his agent, because Chicago wanted to come and look at his knee.
Oh, physically look at his knee?
Yeah. His plane was delayed three times. The doctor for Chicago Bulls. It was raining in Chicago, I think, really bad. But he flew in that night. So Darius had to leave his party to go to his hotel room so that the doctor could look at his knee.
Just what did he want to know about his knee?
You know, I don't know. And I asked, I said, what did you have to do anything? You have to jump? You have to? No, they just he wanted to examine it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So when that happened and that doctor made such the effort and looked, were you going to buy red and black and thinking you were going to the Bulls?
Well, I thought about it. And then prior to us arriving, as we arrived to New York, they had two cars for us. One took Desmond and Darius, because, you know, the Knicks were considering taking him third over RJ Barrett. So he had to try out with the Knicks, had to go to dinner with the owners and the coaches, and he and Rich, his agent. Yeah. So we just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
Oh, my goodness.
The Cavs never came up.
That's what I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. So that was really not on the table of where you were thinking you were about to go buy a condo and live.
We just, because they were showing so much interest, the Bulls and the Knicks.
And the Knicks.
We just didn't know.
Yeah.
And I remember on the bus, and later after talking with Rich, we said, did you know he was going to the Cavs? Because, you know, he has a lot of connection. He's from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then LeBron.
I didn't know Rich was from Cleveland, too.
Yeah, he's from Cleveland.
Okay. I knew he was LeBron's agent and all that. Yeah. How does it feel to be, 1 degree separated from Adele? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I've met Adele. I've got pictures with her.
Casual name drop. Oh, I've met Adele. Oh, what do you want to know?
I know. She is so down to earth.
Really?
Very much.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
funny. Oh,
really?
Yes.
That's so cool. You probably sat on the sidelines with Adele. That's crazy.
I haven't sat on the sidelines. I've sat next to her during the All-Star. Was it the All-Star weekend? Yeah.
Yeah.
We were all in Cleveland, and we were just in there talking and laughing, and we danced, did the slide.
Oh, my goodness. I know you did. Yeah. I've only been in one draft situation, and this is another BA boy, Bryce Jarvis, who was drafted to the MLB, one of Cooper's very best friends, and we were at the home when he got the phone call, and just the drama and the suspense of that.
Yeah,
and even that wasn't on the scale of being in New York and sitting there, all the cameras are on you.
And that's what happened. After they chose RJ for the Knicks, I think actually before then, all the cameras started coming our way.
And number four?
Uh-huh.
This is number
fifth.
This is number five. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, you know, yeah. And then all of a sudden the camera just started coming toward us. And I'm like, oh my God.
And you knew Cleveland had the next pick?
Yeah.
And did you just make a motion like you were kicking somebody under the table?
I touched Winston. I was like, oh. You know, camera's on you, so you can't move your lips. You're like, it was so funny.
That's amazing.
It was so funny.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And he ended up in Cleveland.
I'm going to talk about Cleveland, mm-hmm. but most importantly, how did you decide what you were going to wear? How did Darius decide? I knew everybody was wanting to dress him.
Yeah.
He went so out of the box.
He went so out of the box. That's one thing I can't say about him. You know, he's not one of those to follow suit, you know, what everybody else is doing.
Did you get to have an opinion or?
Well, so we went to LA and he told us that he really liked the sky, his design.
Did you specifically go to LA for mm-hmm. What he would wear to the draft? Wow.
Yeah. Cause actually he was there. He was already there. He and Desmond were there. So okay. They asked us if we want to come. He was going to meet with the designer, Fear God. And so we said, okay, we'll come.
Yeah.
Just to say a few, you know, stay for a few days and just kind of help him with this process before he ended up back at home to go to the draft. Yeah, we went. I was like, okay, that's different.
Is that what they had ready for him
to
try?
Yeah, the guy was there, they were fitting everything for him. And then we started, you know, trying to figure out the shoes. I'm like, what kind of shoes will you wear with this? It was a little different. At first, I don't think Winston really was like,
like, I don't know about that. Yeah. Because it just wasn't traditional.
It wasn't traditional.
But mm-hmm. he went like with a whole different look.
And there's an article and it says this was the best draft suit of all times.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Where does that suit hang now?
Probably in his closet in Cleveland in a garment bag.
Okay. Okay. And how did you decide who dressed you? I remember actually calling Terry and saying, okay, I got to know what she wearing and how did she figure this out? Of course, she was up there with you, but.
I bought it from a bridal shop.
Oh,
and
okay.
I just had it cut off.
Okay.
Yeah, it was longer.
Well, you looked stunning.
Thank you.
I know Cleveland just welcomed you guys with the open arms.
They did.
Yeah. What was that transition like? Was it easy? Was it difficult to? Because this was a family affair. You all went together to help him make this transition.
Mm-hmm. He, at first, you know, we had talked about Desmond going with him. That was always the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked if we would come too. And I was like, well, Desmond will be there with you, you know. But if you want us to come, we will.
Yeah.
And he said yes. And we had our own place. And he and Desmond lived together in an apartment.
Mm. Yeah. And y'all kept a place here as well mm-hmm. as home base yeah. and mm-hmm. then moved to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And, of course, the pandemic just messed everything up. God. As we know, you guys had a lot of quarantine time inside that place y'all got in Cleveland,
really
right?
Did. Yes. And, you know, I was so used to, you know, Chicago downtown and it was so totally different. And the mm-hmm. pandemic didn't make it even. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There was nobody on the streets. And at that time, the teams were, you know, they were on lockdown. They couldn't really do anything mm-hmm. unless you did something private, one-on-one. Mm. So he and Desmond had went to, they had gone to LA and was working out in a private gym. And we were in Cleveland and one day we lived on the 7th floor and I was looking out the window and I think I may have saw two people walk downtown.
Wow.
And I asked Winston, I said, why are we here? Why are we here? And then we just started our journey back to Nashville. We started looking for a home. We wanted to just move into a home, but we ended up building.
Yeah. So y'all ended up back in Nashville. And so what does travel look like now to go to the games? How many do you try to get? Like, what determines whether you get on a plane and go or drive or all that?
Well, we usually try to go to home games, which is in Cleveland, when there's a, you know, three or four games.
Like
in
a series.
A series mm-hmm. of games mm-hmm. we'll go and stay. Or if they go on a West Coast trip, you know, we'll sometimes follow and go to different states. It just depends.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But y'all have got the flexibility now just to pick up and go. And is it hard for you to miss a game? Because you weren't used to that in high school. You know, you were at everything.
Mm-hmm. All the games. I think during high school and college, I may have missed one game.
Really? One. You know mm-hmm. what? I missed one game of baseball for Connor. Really? And guess what happened? He hit his only home run.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The one game I missed. Isn't that just the way it goes for a mom? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but we normally, we'll just, you know, decide which game. And sometimes I'm okay, especially away games. I'm mm-hmm. okay watching it at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you're so fortunate that what he's doing, you can, for the most part, probably find. A mm-hmm. Little family secret, we had never, ever bought the NBA package until Darius Garland was in the NBA.
Oh, so that's so sweet.
We did. We got it so we could watch us some Darius. Oh. It's just been so fun. And I'm sure like you, I know that I often say that one of my favorite parts of this journey of having a child who's in the spotlight a little bit is the people who've come along on the journey with mm-hmm. us and seeing everyone else's excitement for him and how proud they are because they feel like they've been along on this ride and watched him work hard mm-hmm. to achieve these goals.
Yeah.
And so it's not just our family, but our friends and, you know, just like your love and supporting Connor and not even a country music fan. And I don't know a whole lot about basketball, but boy, is it fun to watch Darius.
I know. And I tell people all the time about Connor.
You're so sweet. We're going to get Felicia in some cowboy boots.
Yes. And I want a short dress and some cowboy boots and a hat.
Maybe a little bandana hat. Okay. I got you, girl. We're going to do that. That's going to be so fun. What is it like for you to see Darius now have friendships with people who were his heroes?
I don't know if you saw, there was an article where Darius was at his house playing basketball.
In Cleveland?
No, in L.A.
Okay.
He was at LeBron's house.
Oh, yes.
Playing basketball with his boys.
Uh-huh.
And I guess LeBron was just talking about, you know, the younger guys. And he brought up the conversation that, well, Darius and Darius Bazley was just another guy who plays in the NBA, and he's with Clutch Sports. They were at LeBron's house, but they were outside playing with his boys playing basketball. And he just talked about, you know, the young guys coming in and, you know, how they're playing and kind of taking over the game now.
Yeah.
And he's mentioned that, you know, they're so young. One of them, he said, I'm not going to say any name, but one of them said to Savannah, his wife, okay, we'll see you later, Auntie Savannah. And she was like, I'm not auntie, you know, and he said he had to really think about it. These kids are like his kids' age.
Yeah.
And
well, Darius would be much closer to his kids than his him. Age, even though they are peers on the court.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet that is unusual.
Yeah. So it's, and I love the fact when I see, you know, a lot of the guys, how they just kind of take him under his wing, like Tre'Mond Green. He is just amazing guy. He does what he do on the court and but he's such a great guy. And all of them, it's like, wow, look at my baby.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously, I mean, life is going to change with that type of success as far as your day to day. I mean, mm-hmm. we know that y'all are just the same old, you know, Felicia and Winston and Darius and Desmond, but what are some of the things that you've gotten to experience that you're just like, young Felicia in Gary, Indiana would have mm-hmm. never dreamed.
Mm-hmm. Well, one is hanging out with Adele.
Yes, can
of
we go
course,
back to
that's
that?
One.
For sure.
I remember my brother brought this up. He said, Felicia, I just really like to see, you know, how you guys just mingle with all these people, the who's who and, you know, people in different spotlights. We had gone to a Cleveland Browns game and our financial advisor and, you know, just different people were there. And he said, that just warms my heart because you're still the same old you. You just laugh and just be who you are, you know. Sometimes you just don't think about it, you know, but it is, it's awesome. It's a blessing. Mm-hmm.
What's a favorite trip that y'all have gone on as a family?
Right. Darius took all of us to Hawaii, last year. It was really, really nice. So relaxing mm-hmm. and just got a chance to bond and, you know, talk about, you know, his year and basketball.
And aren't those days just even more precious because of the rush and the hurry and the pulling and the grabbing? Mm-hmm. And
it is. Matter of fact, we had a family meeting today earlier this morning. We, you know, we just try to catch up, and, you know, every year is something different, something new. And especially this year for Darius is going to be, you know, a little different. And,
What does a family meeting look like? Is that a FaceTime call? Is that everybody in the kitchen?
Well, we were supposed to be, everybody was supposed to be in the kitchen, but they worked out yesterday and they were tired, so they couldn't drive all the way to Smyrna.
Mama Felicia's so, like, yeah. Okay, where are you boys?
Right. And so they said, well, can we just get on the phone, on the phone call? I was like, okay.
Like, what are the topics in the family meeting, for example?
Just things for the summer, what Darius has planned, what he, you know, things have changed financially for him this year. So we, you know, talk about things like that.
Do y'all stay involved at all with the financial part, the wealth management people, all the people that, do you help maybe guard that a little bit to make sure he's taken care of?
A lot of it is over my head.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'll tell them, can you talk to me in layman's terms, make me understand what you're saying.
You know, we talked about that. Both of our boys being kind of thrown into adult world of people. And at the end of the day, I remember telling Connor early on, and I bet you've said the same things, but I'm like, Connor, your family at the end of the day are the only people in your life who aren't making a dime off of you. Like, we're we're here for you and for your well-being. Mm-hmm. And we don't care about, you know, all the other things, but it's why, you know, it matters to us so much who all speaking into your life.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Cause you have people coming out their woodworks.
I can't imagine. Just at that level. Yeah. I cannot imagine. Yeah.
We even had one guy. I don't even know his last name, but he, you know, called and asked my husband, could he borrow $25,000? Like, really?
Just call it and ask to borrow an insane amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was floored. It was just so weird to me. I would never do anything like that. Yeah. So we just have to keep him grounded and let him know, you know, your friends are your friends. Mm-hmm. We always tell him to keep your circle tight.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
for sure. And don't be walking into the Cool Springs Galleria by yourself. What is it like? I guess particularly in Cleveland though, but like just to go eat or something. Like, what is it like now?
It's, you know, he's,
I mean, are y'all going to get stopped, autographs, pictures, the whole thing? Has he gotten used to that? He's such a sweetheart. I bet he doesn't tell anybody no.
He's gotten used to it. Sometimes it's like, okay, let me just, you know. But he'll always stop and take a picture or, you know, sign something. He gets it a lot. Yeah.
How do you think he likes the spotlight? Like the make this Instagram video, hold up this product. Aren't there like Cheetos with his face on it or something? I mean,
I
don't even.
I meant to bring you a bag of chips. I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
I need those. You were going to, what are they called?
Crunchland, DG Crunchland.
DG Crunchland. Yeah. I want DG Crunchland chips. I want one bag to eat and one bag just to set up on my kitchen shelf.
I did. Oh my God. I meant to bring them. I totally forgot, but I'll get them to you for real.
What do you guys talk about when it comes to, I'm assuming that there's going to be, if there's not already, and maybe I just need to know about it, but some sort of foundation or something, because I know it will be important for your family to take these blessings that are coming your way and give back.
Yeah. So, he has a foundation. He does a lot of things just mainly like on his own. Like, you know, he did the basketball camps for 3 states and they all were free, over 200 and 300 kids.
Amazing.
Which was great.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he loves doing things for kids and giving back.
So you think anything as you go and get established with the foundation and as it grows will be child focused?
It will. Definitely. Yeah. That's his passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. What kind of daddy do you think Darius Garland will be one day?
Well, he has already named his son.
Oh.
Yeah, he did that years ago. His name will be Nicholas.
Really?
Where it came from, I don't know.
You don't know.
But he loves that name, Nicholas.
Oh, my goodness. But are we allowed to talk about Darius's dating life?
Oh, well, he, you know, I...
maybe not. I don't want to I might personally get in trouble with Darius if I, you know, snoop too much. Yeah. But can we even say that it is someone who's been around for a while?
Yeah, he has one who's been around for a long time. And I like that because she's safe.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's what we were talking about. She knew Darius before he was Darius Garland, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I love that. And she's a beautiful girl and a sweet girl.
Yeah. She's around.
Yeah. We're just going to leave it at that. She's around. Mm-hmm. She exists. Yeah. What's next for you guys? Building a house.
Exactly. Okay. That's next.
Are you going to be right in the midst of all the decorating and the planning and the design? Like, do you like that?
I love that.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. I love being a part of that. It was a little stressful this first time because he bought a home here sight unseen. Mm-hmm. And
you even go look at it for him?
Yeah,
you
did. I did. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I did all that. And then I've never decorated a house of that magnitude. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Was that up to you? Did you do it?
I did.
That was so fun.
It was so fun. It was so stressful.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you guys and your family.
And so are we happy for you too. Oh,
thank you. What is the advice that you give moms with kids with dreams? I mean, we're not even going to say kids that want to play in the NBA because mm-hmm. the percentage and the chances and the opportunity are so tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the magnitude of how you guys have been blessed. Mm-hmm. But we all have kids with dreams and mm-hmm. goals. And how do you advise, you know, moms just to support those dreams?
Yeah. Just, you know, let the kids follow their dream. Give them their space. If this is something that they really want to do, just make sure they give it their all. Mm-hmm. If this is something that they really want to do.
Do you think you find a way to get the lessons, to feed the passion, those things?
Yes, you do. If it's something that you really want to do.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. something that you see them sticking with. Because, you know, most kids want to try and do whatever, but when you'll see it.
I think so too.
I think you see it in your kid.
We saw it when Darius was in his sophomore, going into his junior year, when he started scheduling his own practices, because he would go to have practice before school.
Wow. Wasn't anybody telling him mm-hmm. that you've got to go do this?
He would to have his shake in the morning. Mm-hmm. He'd ask me, Ma, can you prepare my shake? And I had the Ninja. And he would just put it on there to stir it up that morning because I would still be asleep.
Yeah.
He would drive himself to school to practice.
So when you started seeing that level of independence mm-hmm. and passion and drive.
Yeah.
I love
that's when I knew that he was really serious about this and it may could take him places.
Yeah. And it sure did.
It did.
I would ask every guest this, but mm-hmm. what did Darius get from his mama?
His kindness.
Yeah.
I think he got his heart. He Winston is a very kind guy too. But I think, he loves to shop like his mom.
That's a good thing.
But yeah, he's very caring. We think about other people, you know,
what a great trait to have.
Yeah.
What about dance moves?
Dance moves, of course.
I think maybe he got his dance moves from his mama.
His dance moves, of course. Yeah. Well, we both love to dance.
This has been so fun.
Yes.
Loved it.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Continued blessings to the Garlands. We can't wait to see DG the PG shine this season on the court for the Cavs. Thanks so much for listening and supporting the Got It From My Mama podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at gotitfrom_mymama. See you back here next week. I want to share with you a miracle skincare product that works overnight. Just kidding. If anyone says that to you, run. Skincare takes time and consistency. However, let me tell you about Barefaced Toning Pads. They don't work overnight, but you can start seeing results as soon as 2 weeks after using them. Okay, so who needs them? Everyone. They're skin smoothing pads that help prevent breakouts, remove dull, dead skin, and improve the absorption of your skincare products. Basically, they reveal a more even, healthy glow with every swipe. They're Barefaced's best-selling products with over 2,000 five-star reviews and over 200,000 units sold just in 2022. So a fan favorite to say the least. They literally could not keep these toning pads in stock for the first 2 years after they launched. So if you are looking for an easy first product to get started with, this is a must-have in your routine. Don't forget, you can use the code MAMA15 to get 15% off your first Barefaced purchase. That's M-O-